met Cliff while he was working on the streets of Boulder, Colorado. He told me he was retired, but that he still clocked in most days. I met him there on the sidewalk outside my bank. He was there. He was multitasking. He was half focused on sizing me up, trying to figure out whether I would be receptive to his views on gender and the afterlife, and half focused on his three dogs, who were down at his feet, tangled in their leashes. Cliff said to me, "You know, Jeff, all I'm trying to do is plant some seeds. Do you wish I was more liberal?" And I said, "No, Cliff. I wish you were more moderate." The dogs looked happy to be there. Cliff did too. And I'd met a couple street preachers before. Most of them seemed angry and oversensitive. But Cliff was neither. He was all smiles, and he didn't get upset with me when I disagreed with him. I asked him what his story was, and he told me he used to be Catholic. And then for a while he was an atheist. Then he became a Christian, and that's what he is now, just a Christian. And he wants to set a couple things straight. First, if you get married, then you have to stay married, no matter what. You only get one shot at it. And women, they need to cover their heads when they're at church. And then one other thing that he's been seeing more and more of, and it bugs him. Women as preachers. This is completely wrong and completely forbidden. See, Jeff, what I preach is the straight and narrow. There's not a lot of room for interpretation in the book. And when I say the truth, people don't like it. People just don't like the things I say. He tried in vain to hand a pamphlet to a person walking by. "But I do like you, Jeff. I've been doing this for over 10 years, and in all that time, only a couple people have ever actually stopped to talk to me." And so he invited me over for dinner, Monday at 5:30 p.m. His house surprises me. If I didn't know who lived there, I would have expected someone my age to open the door. I get these strong millennial vibes from it, like there's art everywhere, there's trinkets, there's a fake stuffed tiger on the floor, and lots of frondy houseplants and a big aquarium. Also, a bright green touch-tone phone sitting on a chair, and a commercial carpet cleaner in one corner. The lights are off in the living room, and the three dogs occasionally run laps around the table and bark at cars. His wife, Sophie, is playing a computer game when I come in. She's quiet but friendly, and early in the morning she works at the elementary school down the street as a custodian. Later, when Cliff's in the other room, Sophie says that she doesn't like the job, but the benefits help pay for Cliff's medicine. We all sit down at the dining room table, and we eat pasta and salad and twice buttered Pillsbury biscuits. "I'm glad you asked me about my first wife," Cliff says. "I can explain. I think you might think I'm a hypocrite, but I can explain." His first wife cheated on him with his best friend, and so they got a divorce. After his divorce, Cliff met Sophie. They fell in love, they got married, they raised four children together. And years later, Cliff started reading the Bible, more and more. And he saw things in there that made him uncomfortable. He started asking his friends and his preacher and found out that his worst fears were in fact true. He was displeasing God by remarrying, strictly forbidden. So Sophie moved downstairs. Cliff points across the table, and my eyes follow his gesture, through the darkened living room and into what used to be the study. And to my surprise, I see a twin-sized bed in there. Cliff hints that they haven't slept together since. I used to want to save souls too. I still remember in high school that I had anxiety about the fire and the suffering that awaited most of my friends. I desperately wanted the sinners that I cared about to see things the way I did, not only to save them the suffering of hell, but also for the selfish reason of wanting some friends to keep me company in heaven. I ask him, "Cliff, of all the things in the world, what worries you the most?"
"My children. One of them's using drugs. I can tell that when I talk to him, he doesn't care."
"Care about what?" He looks down for a moment, but then he looks excited again and rushes upstairs to get some literature for me to take home. Sophia and I talk a bit. She wishes she could retire so badly, but they really do need the benefits. He comes back downstairs beaming, and he hands me some papers. I ask him, "Cliff, do you think you've ever saved any souls?" He says,
"Maybe. I'm not sure."
And then he says it again.
"I'm just trying to plant some seeds here. I'm just trying to plant some seeds."
In the coming months, Cliff mails me some more literature from a preacher he likes, someone who also believes in the straight and narrow. And he wrote me these little handwritten notes. Cliff put these things in the mail, even though he lived only about a half a mile away, but I think the walking was getting harder for him. The letters came in these envelopes with return address stickers and stamps that had pictures of Gregory Peck. Cliff will probably be out there again tomorrow, on the streets of Boulder, Colorado. He says he doesn't take many days off. He has pamphlets to hand out, and his dogs have barks to give. Sophie has floors to mop. And we all have our souls that need his saving so that Cliff's heaven doesn't get too empty. My name is Jeff Entman, and I made this thing that you just heard from some writing that I did back in 2012. It's something I wrote and then kind of forgot about on my hard drive, and I was looking around the other day for something completely different, and I came across this writing, and I read it, and, you know, I just wanted to share it with you. I did edit it, and I also did change the names. While I was researching a little bit for this piece, I do think I came across an obituary for Cliff. I'm not 100% sure it was his, just because I never wrote down his real full name. But I'm probably about 80% sure that it was his obituary. So I've been thinking about that. I don't know quite what it makes me feel, but it makes me feel something. Anyways, you know, this isn't a full episode or anything like that. This is just kind of something small that I found that I wanted to share with you in the meantime while I'm getting the next full episode ready. But before I end this, I just want to share two pieces of news with you. And the first thing is that I really like last episode. That's episode 153 called Klänge from Berlin. One of my big problems with podcasts is that they tend to get buried really quick. They tend to kind of disappear from people's feeds and disappear from people's minds. And so I was thinking, like, is there a way that I can make this episode feel a little bit more permanent? And so what I've done is I've released high-quality recordings, not like the compressed version that you hear here on the feed, but like high-quality recordings that you can download and keep forever. I released this under my musical name, which is The Black Spot. And so if you go to theblackspot.bandcamp.com, there's an album of all the field recordings from last episode up there for sale. And for the next month or so, up until the end of June 2022, I'm going to take all of the profits from that album and I'm going to donate them to the International Committee of the Red Cross. So again, the album, it's up on Bandcamp. It's theblackspot.bandcamp.com. Okay, and here's the second thing. I've just received a big box in the mail with 1,000 new Here Be Monsters stickers, and I think they're quite stunning. They are the Here Be Monsters logo without any writing on it, just the iconic HBM of Here Be Monsters. And so they're colorful, they are die cut, so they're like close cropped around the HBM, and they're printed on transparent vinyl. So they're good inside, outside. I've put one on my computer and it just kind of blends in to the edges. I put one on a friend's cell phone too, and it just kind of blends in and looks like it's just always been there. And I really like that nature of these stickers. So if you want some Here Be Monsters stickers, go to the store. It's hbmpodcast.com/store. And if you're a member of the Here Be Monsters Patreon, then I'll just mail you some for free. I've published a post on the Here Be Monsters Patreon account that tells you how you can get yours for free. And if you'd like to join the Patreon, that's at patreon.com/hbmpodcast. There's a community of 100-some people there who send a little bit of money each month to keep this show going. And that's my two pieces of news. So I'll be back in a couple weeks here with a full episode. The music on this episode came from The Black Spot. Thanks for listening. More episodes soon.